Well, welcome everyone to our Vision Sunday for the year. So we do this every year. We set aside a Sunday to kind of kick things back into action following the summer holiday. But also, more importantly, it's to introduce one of our main focuses, or is it foci, for the year. And in 2019, we want to focus on evangelism. And now evangelism kind of fell off our radar a couple of years ago, and I blame myself for that. What happened was, like, outreach was part of Steve's portfolio when he was here as an assistant. And when he left, outreach kind of fell by the wayside while we were trying to find his replacement and then getting things up and running again. And I've just been a bit slow in getting things going again in terms of evangelism. But for the last 12 months or so, the ministry staff have been slowly putting together our vision for an outreach ministry here at Earlwood Anglican. And we've already organised a whole bunch of things for this year. So let me just tell you four things we're doing this year. So the first is Outreach April. We have set aside the entire month of April where we're going to be preaching on the topics that you, the congregation, told us that you think your non-Christian friends would like to hear. So that's all of April. We're going to be putting postcards together so you can use them to invite your friends along, and we're going to letterbox drop our area. Second, we're doing a three-week series on evangelism in the lead-up to Outreach April. Third, we're going to be, we're hoping to put on, so we're still workshopping all this, but we're hoping to put on some low-key outreach events, sort of pre-evangelism events throughout the year. And then finally, we're hoping to put some training events on to do with evangelism to further equip us in terms of this. So that's outreach in 2019, the basics of what we're looking at. What I want to look at today, though, as we sort of launch the year, is what generally stops us from becoming the kind of effective evangelists that the Bible calls us to be. So in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. So this is our mission. Okay, the nations have not yet been reached. So the Great Commission from Matthew 28, it still remains open. Right, God's disciples, Jesus' disciples, are to go and make more disciples still today. But what I want to look at today is what it is that stops Christians from carrying this mission out with all that we have. I mean, when you think about it, our Lord and Savior, our ultimate treasure, has given us a job to do. Right? What is it that stops us from carrying out that job with everything in our being? Well, we could make the argument that the reason Christians are somewhat relaxed when it comes to evangelism is we don't see the urgency of it. Now, I think that there is some truth to that, but I think there's actually something a little deeper going on, something lying behind that, and that is that we find evangelism scary. And here's the thing, there are real dangers when it comes to evangelism. We don't live in one of those countries where you can be put to death talking about Jesus, but that can happen. But our reputations are on the line. Our comfort levels are put to the challenge when it comes to telling people about Jesus. And as you know, there are real dangers involved. And here's the thing, well-balanced humans like you and me, well, you at least, we don't like rushing headlong into things that are a bit scary, do we? And so what I want to do today is to investigate how we can rise to meet the challenges of evangelism. And I want to do this using the prophet Jeremiah. So as we just read, Jeremiah was chosen by God to impart God's word to the nations, chapter 1, verse 5. Right? It's very strikingly similar to our Great Commission, isn't it? And in looking at Jeremiah, I want to show us two very important truths about evangelism. The first is that evangelism is difficult. If we are going to rise to meet the challenge of evangelism, we first need to admit that there are challenges. So the first is that evangelism is difficult. Our second point is that God equips us with the resources we need to meet those challenges. All right? God does not send us into battle unarmed. And then our third point, what I want to do is I want to take those first two points and put them together to see how it is we can rise to meet those challenges. And so through these 3 points, all right, so the difficulties of evangelism, the resources of evangelism, and the practicalities of evangelism, my prayer is that we will leave here today with a deeper motivation to get out there and do it. So let's begin. And we begin in Jeremiah chapter 1. And this is Jeremiah's commissioning. Have a look at verse 4 down the bottom there. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So like I said, this is strikingly similar to the Great Commission that God has given to Christians, right? Just like Jeremiah is appointed a prophet here, "I appointed you as a prophet," so too have Christians been appointed to take the good news to the nations. But here's the thing. At the end of the commissioning, God says this. Have a look at verse 17. God says, "Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them." Now, why does God say this? Why the need to command Jeremiah to not be terrified by the people he's going to preach to? Well, the reason is that it is terrifying to preach God's word to people. Preaching God's word is really difficult, and the reason it's difficult is very simple. All right, ever since Genesis 3, humans have been in rebellion against God. We've been traveling in the opposite direction. What that means is that everything humans do in life, apart from God, is wrong. All right, when non-Christians, even the good deeds non-Christians do, they're done for the wrong reasons. And that's why God says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Now, these are the people we're going to preach to. And we're telling them that everything they do is wrong, that their whole life is traveling in the opposite direction to God. Repentance means turning 180 degrees towards God. And here's the thing, people don't take being told that everything they do is wrong very well. And so point one for today is that evangelism is difficult. There is simply no getting around it. I actually think it's very similar, if I can use an analogy, it's similar to going to war, okay? There's no silver bullet to war. Even with our modern weapons, war still means putting soldiers on the ground who might get killed. See, any general who goes to his soldiers and says, "Oh, listen, men, this war is going to be easy and no one here is going to die," they would be lying. War means putting soldiers on the ground who may get killed. And in the same way, there's no silver bullet with evangelism. It means telling people they're wrong. And so it's no wonder that Christians everywhere find themselves thinking things like, "Oh, look, I wouldn't know what to say to them. I don't know how to start a conversation about Jesus. I simply don't have the knowledge to tell people the gospel. Oh, I don't want to be labeled one of those Bible bashers. I might lose friends over this and end up lonely in life. Or what if they find out how sinful I am and they call me a hypocrite? I just don't want to be the only one who's left out." Do you find those thoughts familiar? Well, you're not alone, right? Every Christian has them. Even the great prophet Jeremiah. Now remember, Jeremiah wrote the longest book in the Bible. Even he had these kinds of thoughts. All right, flick over, keep your finger in Jeremiah 1. We're going to come straight back. But flick over to Jeremiah 20 quickly. What was that page number again? Jeremiah 20, 1208, is it? 1208. Now this is Jeremiah 20. This is 20 years into his ministry. He's been preaching for 20 years, and this is where he's at. Have a look at verse 7. "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So, get this, the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I'll not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. Get this, all my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he will be deceived and we'll prevail over him and take our revenge on him. Evangelism brought Jeremiah deep, deep despair. In verses 14 to 18, he actually scorns the day of his birth. But here's the thing, what Jeremiah's experience shows us is that we are right to fear evangelism. Believe it or not, Jeremiah 20 is one of the most comforting passages in the whole Bible for Christians, because it tells us we're not alone in thinking that evangelism is difficult. Even the great prophet Jeremiah thought so. You see, Jeremiah 20 is God being a good general, and he's preparing his people for the harsh reality that evangelism is difficult. There's no getting around it. But it's a necessary difficulty if we're going to call people to repent and flee God's coming judgment. And because it's a necessary difficulty, God supplies us with the resources we need for evangelism. So let's go back to Jeremiah 1 and have a look at verse 6. This is Jeremiah responding. "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I don't know how to speak. I'm too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Now again, that sounds very familiar to the Great Commission. Let's read the whole of the Great Commission, because it ends with these words. Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, what does it mean for God to be with us always? Well, in this context, it means he will give us the resources we need to do what he asks of us. God does not send us out like soldiers without the proper tools or the proper weapons. Right? So I'll give you some examples. When God commissioned Moses to be his mouthpiece before Pharaoh, Moses complained. He said, "I'm not eloquent." All right? But God said to him, Exodus 4:12, "I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." When God commissioned King David to be the ruler of his people, we read this. "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." And God does the same for Jeremiah. Have a look at verse 18 of chapter 1. "Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you." Right? There's danger, but will not overcome you. "For I am with you, and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. What this means is that if we are fulfilling our great commission to make disciples of all nations, then God will give us what we need to be able to fulfill that mission. So let me give you some examples. We've got some scary scenarios in front of us. What are the resources that might be at our disposal? Well, here's one I heard a few years ago. So what if we don't know who to talk to? It's like, "Well, I know you want me to tell people about Jesus, Lord, but who do I talk to?" Let me tell you of a Christian I heard about years and years ago who would pray on his bike ride to work every morning. He would pray and say, "Lord, who are you going to send me today to speak to about you?" And he said almost every day he had a conversation about Jesus somewhere. Right? If we are serious about fulfilling the Great Commission, God will send us what we need to do it. But what if we know who to talk to, We just don't know how to start the conversation. Well, why not pray that God will prompt them to start the conversation? This happened to me recently. So I had some extended family that I've been praying for years that I can have an actual meaningful conversation with them. On Boxing Day this year, they started the conversation with me. We talked for over an hour. God will supply us with the resources we need to carry out our commission. What if we know who to talk to, but we don't know what to say? What if they ask really hard questions? Well, here's another example of a Christian I heard many, many years ago. He was a university student. He had this non-Christian friend that he would always be talking to, and this non-Christian friend, he would always have the really hard questions to ask. And so this Christian, he would say, look, I don't know the answer, but I can get it for you. And so what he would do is he would get the non-Christian to record the question on his tape player, right, many, many years ago, his tape player, and then he'd take the tape player to his minister and get the minister to record the answer, and then he'd take it back to his friend. And after about 6 months, this guy said, look, you just got to come and meet this minister. And he did, and so on and so forth, and the guy became a Christian. Friends, if we have the desire, the longing to fulfill our great commission, God will give us the resources. And those resources will include the strength to be able to handle their insults, the resolve to handle their questions that aren't really questions but are charges, and the character to even handle outright rejection. Friends, if it is for the sake of calling people to repent and put their faith in the Lord Jesus, God had promised us, he has promised us to give us the resources that we need. So, where are we? We know that evangelism is difficult. God's not denying that. And we also know that God has promised us to supply the resources we need. The only thing left now is the desire to get out there and do it. And herein lies the challenge, does it not? What is it going to take to mobilize us to have the desire to actually get out there and make disciples of all nations? Well, here's the thing. You and I, as Christians, have been living with long-term fear about this. That's just what happens. As Christians, that's what happened to Jeremiah. He feared preaching the word. We fear preaching the word. And what happens when we have long-term fear is it affects how we operate. And because we've been afraid for so long of opposition, what happens is we often become accustomed to playing the rules imposed by the opposition. How would I put it? We become accustomed to playing according to how the opposing team wants us to play. Let me explain what I mean. I want to tell you about the greatest American football coach of all time. It's a man by the name of Vincent Lombardi. In fact, some people claim this guy is the greatest sporting coach of all time. Lombardi was renowned for being able to inspire people with his words. So this is the guy that coined the phrase, it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up again. He came up with that phrase, all right? He is an impressive coach. And Lombardi was the coach of the Green Bay Packers during the very first Super Bowl back in 1967. And they were versing the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, for non-sporting fans, the Super Bowl is the last football match of the season. It's where the winner of the Eastern Conference plays the winner of the Western Conference. And the Green Bay Packers were the obvious favorites to win. And at halftime, they were up 14-10. But here's the thing, at halftime, the momentum belonged to the Chiefs. Right, the Chiefs had outplayed them that side, that half. They had scored, they had got more yards and more first downs. And they just scored their latest touchdown right before the whistle. So all the momentum was going to the Chiefs. During the traditional halftime address by the coach, Lombardi stood up. He folded his jacket over the chair and he slowly walked to the front of the room and he said, "Men, I want to talk to you. I have something to say to you." And he folded his arms and he said, "You have just played 30 minutes of football adjusting to Kansas City. You've probably experienced everything they've had to throw at you, and you've survived. But now, he said, I want to see you play 30 minutes of Green Bay Packer football. I want to see them adjust to you. Friends, my fear is that when it comes to evangelism, Christians adjust to Satan's game. What do I mean by that? Well, Satan will tell us they're not going to listen to you, and so we don't bother speaking. Satan will whisper in our ear, you don't know enough to tell them about Jesus, and so we don't even try. Satan will declare, they'll look down on you if they find out you're a Christian, and so we keep our faith private. Satan says they'll reject you if you preach Jesus to them, and so we keep silent. Satan says they're never coming to church, and so we don't even invite them. Satan says they'll never convert, and so we don't even bother praying for them. You see what I mean? We've been adjusting to how Satan plays the game, and I'm going to tell you, I am sick of it. I am sick. This is for myself. I am sick of adjusting to how Satan wants me to play the game. And here's the thing, we shouldn't have to. See, not only is God our coach, but he's the referee as well. He controls the entire game. Yet we keep adjusting to how Satan wants to play. So here's my challenge. From now on, I want us to play the evangelism game, if I can call it that, according to how God wants us to play. I want to see Satan adjust to us for once. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to trust our coach. We're going to trust God. So when God says, look, if I can make a convert out of Saul of Tarsus, then I can make a convert out of anyone, we will trust him and not give up on anyone. When God says, do not be terrified by them, Jeremiah 1:17, then we will not fear. When God says, don't worry about how you'll defend yourself or what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say, Luke 12:12, then we will not worry. We'll actually speak before thinking. We're so not worried. When God says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him, Mark 8:38, then we will put our reputations aside. We will speak unashamedly of the word of God to people. When God says, go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find, Matthew 22:9, then we will obey him. We will keep inviting people and inviting people and inviting people until God finally changes their heart and they accept our invitation. And friends, when God says, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, then we will work tirelessly in prayer. We will be dedicating ourselves to calling upon God to pour out his Spirit, and we will dedicate ourselves to interceding with God for our non-Christian friends, family, and neighbors. That's how our coach wants us to play the game. And if we do that, we will terrify the opposition. Satan hates it when we obey and trust and believe in God. All right, so friends, let's stop adjusting to Satan's game and make him adjust to ours. Vincent Lombardi concluded his halftime address with these words. He said, men, are you the world champion Green Bay Packers? Don't answer me in here. Go out on that field and answer me. And they did. In the second half, Green Bay scored 3 unanswered touchdowns to win the very first Super Bowl, 35-10. So let me close by asking us the same question. Friends, are we disciples of Jesus, who is not just our coach but the referee? Right? Are we going to keep adjusting to Satan's game? Or are we going to make him adjust to ours? Don't answer me in here. Go out there and answer me.